just keep reviewing the four cases where you could keep a metziah that we've learned so far. The first case we learned was if something's been there a long time, we can assume the owner is gave up on it, even if it has a siman. The second case was zut shoyam, something that no one is able to get to. The tides sweep it away, so there it becomes hefka automatically. If it's a place where there's mostly akum, the owner gives up hope of ever finding it. If he's a Yisrael, and you can also assume that it belonged to an akum who you're not obligated to return it to, and you have no way of returning it to. And the fourth case was something that has no siman, you're allowed to keep. If you can assume that the owners knew about the loss before you picked it up. So last week we spoke about a case where you would have expected it at the, as we were talking about one of these metziyas that the original owner lost, and you would have expected someone else to have found it, the store that it was in, the machine that it was in. We learned last week that if this metziyah, which is permitted to keep, fell into someone's chotzer, which is not mishtameris, which is not guarded, it's like a store where people go in and out. So, and we said at the end of last week's shiur, a machine that's broken where anyone could just hit it and get the coins out. So in that case, we said that the owner of the store does not acquire it, but you do acquire it. If you go into the store and you find that $20 bill, something that has no siman, that we can assume the owners knew immediately that they lost it, a $20 bill, or something that has a siman in a place where it's mainly an akum, you can keep it under those circumstances. The owner of the store does not own it. So tonight we're going to talk about another case where we're talking about these types of things that you're allowed to keep, and the question is going to be whether you're allowed to keep it or the owner of the property is allowed to keep it. And the case we're going to focus on is this case in the Mishpatach Yaakov, which was sponsored with Yulei Nishmaschan of Asher Shlomo Zalman. And he has this interesting case here. Others talk about the case, similar cases, but someone had a some contractors checking. He bought a house and he had some work being done with it, and some contractors were checking the foundation of the house. And when they were digging into the yard, they found some old. They found a big sack of gold coins that had been hidden in the foundation, near the foundation of the house. So the question is, who owns the coins? The person that sold the house, the person that bought the house, or the contractors who found the sack of coins in the buyer's backyard? That's the question. I emailed similar questions that we're going to talk about later, but we'll think about this one first. Maybe it's more common that if you take a book out of the library, let's say it's even a good library, where you know everyone's from there, and you open up and there's a $20 bill inside there. Are you allowed to keep it, or do you have to return it to the library? Another case they talk about is someone bought some clothes from Gemach or from a thrift store, and they found something valuable in the pocket. Are they allowed to keep it? And we're talking about something that has no siman on it, something that has a siman that's been there a very long time, which we assume the owners have been the Yayish. When we write this case of the sack of coins, right, the first case, that's a case where it's been there a long time and the owners certainly were Miyayish on it. Right? That's, whoever owned those coins and stashed them there is long gone. And they were probably Miyayish before they died, and there's been Yayish on them. The question is, you can't give it to the owner of the coins, the original owner, but it's belonged to the owner of the house, the buyer, the seller, or the contractor. So same thing over here with this thing that you find in the your clothes. Does it belong to... there's no way of returning it to the owner. There's no way of returning the dollars that you found in the book to the owner. The question is, are you allowed to keep it? Or does the library keep it? Or does the Gemach keep it? Right, that's the question tonight. Okay, so this really is a Mishnah. Mishnah by Messiah Chatei Amidei. It talks almost about the case we're talking about. I mean, pretty close to the case itself. The Mishnah talks about Matzah Begal. If someone how all the bowls got wiped out of this one. Matzah begal, if someone found the he found the metziah in a pile of stones that belonged to someone, or a kosel yashan, or he found it in an old wall. Now, old wall means that the house was built before this owner or his ancestors had bought it, whereas this house had previous owners. So if you find a metziah in a pile of stones or in an old wall, harei l'shalo, you're allowed to keep them, because the assumption is, we'll see why. The Gemara will say why. Matzav kotzel chadash. If you found it in a new wall, which means that either this person built the house, so it's new, relatively new, or his father, but it's been in his family since the house was built. So then mechesed l'chutz. If you find something on the outer part of the wall, so then, shalom, you could keep it, because then we assume that someone from the street put it there and he left it there, forgot it, and it was miyayish, and you're allowed to keep it. But if you find it on the inside of the wall, shabbat abayis, then you assume that the owner of the house put it there. That's the place where he stores his things, and it belongs to him. Right. So the second half of the Mishnah is easy to understand. It's a house that this person built. So the question is to identify who owns this object. So it depends on what side of the wall it is, who was more likely to have used it. If it's on the outer half of the wall, so then we assume someone from the street left it there. It's a metziah that doesn't have a siman, and you're allowed to keep it. If it's on the inner part of the wall, so then we assume it's the owner of the house that put it there, because it's more likely that he put it there. But the Gemara wants to know why in the Reisha, in the first case, where it's an old wall, where it had been there for many years, why in that case do we say that you could keep it under any circumstances? So the Gemara says, Tana, we learned a Braisa, because the finder can tell the owner, what do you want to say, that this is yours? I don't believe you. This belongs to the Goyim that owned in Eretz Yisrael. They were here long before any Jews were here. They were living in Eretz Yisrael, and then we came and we took over their houses, their land. They ran away, and they had left it there. Since it's such an old wall, I can say, when I find this coin, whatever it is, that in your wall, that it belonged to the Meroim, it's not yours. In fact, the Gemara, what kind of tine is that? Let him say it's mine. Why are you so sure that it belongs to a guy and not to a Yisrael? Why don't we say that? Why don't we assume that the owner put it there? Why do you assume that it's something from the Meroim?
Can't you say Alavaraya? So that As long as you don't know it came from Yisrael, there's no raya from the Baal to put the claim on it.
Well, the Gemara is asking, why is it different than the Seifa, where we at least should say the part inside the wall, we assume the owner put it there.
Because
let's say here also.
We have a reason for that assumption.
What's the reason?
Because it's a new wall that he built.
Well, I bought the house, and you're going to say, and I say, look, I use this thing all the time. And you're saying, well, you reach in and take my thing out, and you say, well, since it's an old house, it's a 500-year-old house, it's probably from the Meroim, maybe it's mine. What right do you have to take my thing from my house? Gemara says, it's very rusty. The thing you took out was very rusty, so you could see that it had been there for a long time. And if it was mine, I wouldn't have left it there so long. So there, we can say that it definitely belonged to the Meroim, the Goyim that had lived there before the Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, and you're allowed to keep it. Right, so, going back to the Mishnah is just finding ways of identifying whose property this is. Is it someone from the outside, or is it the house owner? If it's an old wall, meaning a wall that, a house that someone else built and you moved into it, and the person on the street finds something that's rusty, that's obviously been there for a long time, long before you moved in, it's been there 100 years, you know, old rusty coins that might say, you know, 1700 on it. So then the finder can keep it, and you can't say it's yours, because obviously this was there long before you bought the house, and I happened to find them, and it belonged to some Indians that were here before you ever moved in. If it's a house that you built, so then anything here that's on the outside of the house, outside of the wall, there I consume, people put things in, and they left it there, then the finder's allowed to keep it. But if it's on the inside wall, so then we can assume it belongs to the Baal HaBayis, and in that case, we would say that in that case, the Baal HaBayis would claim that it's his. Okay, so that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah, and the way the Gemara explains it. Now the problem is, okay, let's grant that this is true, right? We've identified in what case you can assume it belongs to the house owner or his parents, and in what case it belongs to the outsiders. But even if it belongs to the outsiders, right, let's say in the case of an old house, meaning that it was built many years ago, and it was that those coins were there long before the first Jew, this Jew, or his father or grandfather had bought it. And so it was belonging to those goyim, to those other people who long ago gave up hope on ever recovering them. But why am I allowed to take it from the outside? Why don't we say that the owner of the house acquires it through Kinyan Chaser when he bought the house? Right? He bought the house. And we're saying that, well, this was here from long ago. So that's why I could take it. Well, why can I take it? What happened to Kinyan Chatzar? And here it's a Chatzar Mishtameris. This Chatzar is guarded. It's in his wall. I mean, something in his house here. Why is he not allowed to keep it? By saying that it's mine. As in fact, the Sma says, you know, so he says it's mine. And you say that it's from the Amorim. So the Sma says, I'm holding it now. Prove to me that it's yours. Otherwise, we'll assume it's Amorim. So what is the Amorim? Let the owner of the house say his chatzir acquired it for him because it was sitting in his house. And so there's around 6 or 8 different answers given by the Rishonim. And I decided to put them on the front of the page here. We're going to deal with two main ones tonight. Tosus gives perhaps the most famous answer, that's the name of the shir tonight. Tosus says, Ein chatzer kona bedaver sheyochelia shelo yimse'enu la'olam. Chatzer is not a valid kinyan, it's not a valid means of acquisition for something that is very possible that will never be found. Kmo chacha shu mutzun ba'ovi akos, like something here, where it's stuck inside the thickness of a wall. What are the chances of you finding something in the thickness of the wall? Very little, very small. So Tosu says, in such a case, the chatzir will not be kona something that could very well not be found. Now Tosus continues, and he says that's also, he disagrees with the Rambam and the Rosh we said last week. That's the reason why if you go to a store and you find something in a store, you're allowed to keep it. Last week we said because it was a chatzir shein mishtameris. Tosus has a different reason. He says because since you found something small, some coins on the floor, what do you want to say? The owner of the store should acquire it through Kinyan Chatzir, but chances are he will never find those coins because people are walking around and then they'll get kicked. Chances are he'll never find them because they're small. It's Baber Katan. So that's why he says, you're not going to. That's why he understands last week's case also. But this week's case, you can't understand like last week that it's a Chashen Mishamesh. It's in his house, it's guarded. But since it's something that cannot be found, that will usually not be found, so in that case, Tosa says, you did not acquire it. I would guess, maybe a more contemporary case is if you bought an old house and you hire someone to work in it, and he is expanding a wall, and by taking down the wall, he sees that there's something inside the studs that someone had left there, some workers had left some cash there or something. So you'll say, well, it's my property because it's in my house. I have Kinyan Chatzar on it, but based on this Tosus, based on what we're saying right now, is the worker who finds it will be able to keep it because you never acquired it. It was something that you had never found. It was hidden behind the drywall. You would have never seen it just because you happened to hire a worker who wanted to expand the house, or you had some problem with it and someone's working with it and they found it. So that your Chatzar, it does not acquire something that will something that's very possible that you would never have found.
Is there a makor for this Tosos? Is there a svara for it? Or
that's what Avigdor says. Yeah, we'll talk about a svara. Yes. We'll see a couple more reasons and then we'll see. But Tosos' makor is here. This is the source. This and last week's Mishnah. Right, because here also, it's like last week, the Mishnayos are dealing with, does it belong to someone out on the street who was Miyayish on it? or is it the storekeeper that dropped it, or is it the owner of the house who had put it there? But we're not, in both cases, we're not dealing with, let's assume, let's even grant that it's someone from the outside, but the house, or the chatzar, the store, should acquire it for the owner now. Right? So last week we said there's a chatzar does not work when it's not mishtameres, where it's something that anyone could go and walk through. This week Tosfos is saying a new svara, that it won't work, your chatzar does not work on something that will never be found. The Mordechai says a similar svara, we'll talk more about that next week. He says, you don't say chatzar works on something that's not shchiach, something that's not usual to be there. Something that the brings from the Ravya, something that you had no, it was never all alibo that there was such a treasure there that you would buy. Something that you have no idea that it could be there. You bought the house. When you bought the house, you had no idea that there was something hidden in the studs behind the drywall. So something like that you don't acquire. Similar to Tosfos Svara, but next week we'll see a possible difference between it. The Rambam goes back to one of the earlier shiurim. The Rambam says this is like a zuto shel yam. We learned, like we said in the beginning, one of the things we learned about was that if the sea sweeps away something that it's avudim imenem kol adam, that you can't get it or no one can get it, it's the Torah's exeris akasav, it's like hefker. So the Rambam says, if there's something that was hidden away that no one could find, he says, hareza matmon, this treasure is avudim imenem kol adam. It's been hidden from him and from anyone else. That's why the finder can keep it. And he makes a kal v'chomer. If I own something, I really owned it. And the sea came and swept it away. Right? That the only time you have to return something to me is if I lost it, but you can find it. Which excludes something that fell into the sea, where I can't get it and no one can get it. So something that I owned that fell into the sea that no one could get now. So there we say, I lose ownership of it, and anyone who finds it can keep it. So kavul chomer lematman kanoni koshkein to some ancient old treasure shlohoye shlamei own that I never owned, that happened to be in my property. Which I couldn't find and no one else could find because it was dug deep in the ground or stuck deep in a wall. Therefore it belongs to the finder. So we'll deal with these two main reasons. Tosfos says the reason is that your chatzar can't acquire something that you would never find. And the Rambam says that since it's something that's unfindable, it's no different than zuto shel yam. It's the gzeiros hakasav. That's something that no one can find. You don't own, right? And certainly you can't acquire it. Something you can't acquire something from the outside that you never own. If it's something that's unfindable, right? The Rambam is learning it from this gzeiros hakasav of zuto shel yam, and Tosfos is saying a svara that something that you have no ability to find, your chatzar can't acquire it for you. Okay, so those are the svaras. So with these svaras, let's go back and review the halachas that we learned from the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch paskins them, and then we'll talk about the contemporary cases that we had mentioned in the beginning. Right, so we have two cases we have to talk about. We have to talk about a house that you built and a house that you did not build. And when I mean that you built it, it means that either you built it or your father, your grandfather, a house that always was in your family, that if you hadn't built it, at least it was your father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. It was an old family house, so if something was found there, we can assume that it was yours, because even though the great-grandfather might not be alive anymore, but through Yerusha, you're a direct descendant, and you should inherit it. So the first case we'll talk about, a house that you did not build, and what you're finding is something from the outside. So Shulchan Aruch passes just like a Mishnah Siman Reish Samach Sinuf Aleph Hamotzi Vegal of a coastal yashin. If you find something in a pile of stones or in an old wall, right, you're an outsider walking along the street and you see an old wall and you see something sticking out and it's old and rusty. We'll see. Shein Zochin Miban. We don't even know who built it, but certainly not the person living here. It's an old house. And it wasn't in the possession of the person who lives there now or his ancestors. Sarei Yushamel, so you're allowed to keep it. Mushal Chaluda, as long as it's rusty. Why? Shani Yar, Mushal Akum Hakanmanim Hu, because we can assume it's from some early Indian, some early Akum who had left it there. It has to be where he found it very deep down, like all these old matmonios, and some of the Farshim explained, he means to say, that's why the owner doesn't acquire it through his kinyan chatzir. Since it's so hidden, right, we always have to think of both issues here. Number one, it doesn't belong to the owner because it was there many years ago. Number two, his chatzir can't acquire it for him because it's so hidden. It's either like Tosu says, it's something his chassid doesn't acquire it because it's something that can never be found, or according to the Rambam, his chassid doesn't acquire it from him because it's no better than a zuto shel yam, and it's worse than a zuto shel yam since it's something that no one can find. I was talking where he has permission, you know, so on the, you know, the wall sticking out near the street. That's why we're going to say later that if, in the next case, that if it's on the outer part of which some passerby. Right, the contemporary case is he's not trespassing because he has permission to be digging in the backyard or to be working inside the house. But if by looking at it you can see that it, you know, it says 2002, it's a new nickel, a new $100 bill there. So then, even if you have a suffix, maybe it's older, maybe it's not, then you can't take it, you don't touch it, because it could be that someone placed it there temporarily, it was Shabbos, and he put it there because it was Muksa, and he's going to come back and get it. Right, and here's the smile that we spoke out. Since this person, like the present owner, had not always owned this house, so he can't claim, well, maybe it was my great-grandfather's, this sack of gold. Right, it's an old sack of gold, maybe it's my great-grandfather's, but the finder says, no, I think it belonged to the Indians. It's before you ever moved here. So, the halacha is, hamasim yachaveh, al varayah. Since the finder's holding them now, you can't say, well, maybe it's my father's, my great-grandfather's at Ayashin, because he's holding it right now. The yachah masulam, he could say, shalom ariyim, al akum acherim, it belongs to that marim, or some other akum, shalim asuyim, shalom, who used to be there, and I can prove it, since it's so rusty, it's been here a long time. And you have to prove to me that it's your ancestors. Now this Malam al-Hawil, we'll talk about his case, he says also, like, it's possible, right? Maybe it did belong to the ancestors, but since it's possible that it was there earlier when they first bought the house, and their house doesn't acquire it for them, like all the Poskim say, so that's why the Motzei, the finder, can keep it. So that's in a case where you can assume, which is probably the case of most of our houses, that most of the houses we buy houses from that have been here for, you know, not in our family. They've been their previous owners. So in those cases, if you find something, if someone's walking by and it's on the wall, the owner of the house can't claim it's his because it was probably there from earlier. It's all rusty. It's an old rusty thing. And that'll apply in the contemporary case by someone digging and they find some gold coins from some Civil War battle in the backyard, or they're doing work in the house and they find something in the walls. In those cases, since this owner can claim that it was his great-grandfather that hid it there because his great-grandfather didn't own the house, so we assume it came from the outside, and once again, he can't acquire it through kinyan chatzir because it's something that's completely hidden. Right? We always have to keep both of those things in mind. Now, what happens if it is a house that he built? Right? It's a brand new house and a new development, and he moves into this new house in this new development, and he's the only owner. And someone walks by and finds something in a wall. Kosel chadash, if it's a new wall, da'ayinu she'yadu ha'shavos ha'shalzeh. We know that either he built it or his father built it, and it never left their possession. So then, so if it's on the outside of the wall, so then that still belongs to the finder. Right? That's afila yesh bo simen, even if there's a simen on it, because it's rusty, and like we learned in the first year something that's been lost for a long time, even though it has a siman, we assume the owners gave up hope of ever recovering it. Right? And there, once again, we don't say the owner of the house acquires it because he didn't know it was there, and you can't acquire something if you don't or something that you don't know was ever there. But in this case, it's different. But if you find something on the inside of the house, that's shabal abayis, that we assume belongs to the Baal HaBayis, even though it's rusty, because the Mepharshim say, based on the Rush, that even if it's rusty, but it's on the inside of the house, and I own the house all along, we'll assume that I put it there, and I just left it there for a long time, and it's mine, it's in my house, and not me, I own it, it's my thing that I put there. Here also, though, in Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch adds, let's talk about honest people. When do we say that if it's in the inside, the Baal HaBayis keeps it? That's kishu tolun shu shalom. That's when he claims, oh, that's my thing that I lost a long time ago. Shoya yoresh, or even if he doesn't claim it's his, but if he's inherited it from his father, so then on utonim lo shemashavi b'ha, you retain it for him that maybe it was his father's. Alim hod reviz anis, and he built the house, and he says, Shemesiyah, he says, look, it's not mine, Harisha Motzah. He has someone working in his house, and it's a house that he built, and that worker finds something hidden behind the walls under a plank of the floorboard in the attic that some worker had left over there, and he admits that it's not his, it's not his father. So there also, the finder keeps it, and once again, he does not acquire it through Kinyan Chatzir, because it's something that he had no idea was there, and you don't acquire through Kinyan Chatzir something that you did not know could be there. Right, so those are the halachas, the way the Shulchan Aruch presents them. Now, in this last case, which is probably also going to be a common case, you know, a lot of people, especially in other communities, they buy these new developments, they buy a house, they're the first owner, and someone does come and do work, and suppose they find something in the walls. So the Malam Lohoil had a case, a typical case, that he was talking about where Reuven sold a house to Shimon, and Shimon found a sack of coins in it, in the house, not like the contractor case, but a similar case, and Reuven said, I want them back, I sold you a house, I didn't sell you that treasure chest. So the Malam Lohoil said, first of all, based on this Mishnah, even if you didn't sell it to Shimon, even if Shimon was just working in your house, and he found that sack of coins, he would be able to keep it because you never acquired it. It came from the outside, and you don't acquire it. However, he says, if the owner of the house can prove that it belonged to his father, as he can prove that it's something that is probably from his ancestors, like you could date the coins and see the coins are dates where his grandfather was living in the house. So even though we could say, well, maybe it was from earlier, but in that case, the Malam Lohel says, the owner of the house can make claim over them. Right? This whole svara that your house can't make a kinyan for you on something that is impossible to find, he says that's talking where it's coming from the outside, so your house can make a kinyan on something that you'll never find. But if it's something that you own because you inherited it, or your father inherited it, and then you inherited it from your father, it's been there through generations, and you could prove it, like I was thinking that wasn't the case he had, but suppose inside the treasure chest it was a picture of his grandfather, or it was a safer with his name on it, right? So we know that this belonged to the owner of the house, one of the ancestors of the owner of the house, so then we can't say this far, well, since it's been here for so long, you know, it probably belongs to one of the earlier owners, we know it's not the case. So the Lama Lohoel says that in such a case, certainly he says the the seller of the house will be able to reclaim it, or if someone's working it, he could say, that's not yours, that's mine, and I could prove that it's mine.
That's only if it's on the inside of the wall.
Right. It's
on the outside of the wall.
Well, then also it'll work because the only reason the outside of the wall belongs to someone else is because we assume someone else put it there. But if he has the proof that it's his, he has a siman that it's his.
You said affiliation with siman if his husband's
that's because someone on the outside would be miyayish. But here we're saying that if you own the house, you're not miyayish on something that you have in your house.
Doesn't fall under zita shalyam is because there's no yish.
So that's very good. That's what the Malam Lahol says. But the Chaim Cohen, he's a contemporary posek. He has a tshuva. He wants to say not like that. He disagrees with the Malam Lahol, and he says that if you use this reason of zuta shoyam, right, this is all good if you're saying the reason is something that's not going to be found, so your chaser can acquire. But over here, I don't have to get home to that because I know that it belongs to my grandfather and he gave it to my father and I inherited it from him. I don't have to have kinyan chatzir. I acquired it through a Yerusha. But if you learn that the reason that this wall, the owner of the wall doesn't acquire the thing from the Merim is because it's considered Zutu Shalyan, so he said that should apply even to something that you owned, but you forgot where it was and it's completely lost in a way that no one could ever find it. So then it's not yours anymore either. And he says, even if we can tell that it belonged at one time to the owner of this house, one of the ancestors of the owner of the house, since it was completely lost and no one could find it, and this worker found it, so he's allowed to keep it. It's a big chiddush, he says. Now, the Mishpatach Eliyahu that we started the case with, let's go back to the case we started with. You have the contractor working in the backyard, and he finds his treasure chest. And it's obviously not from the owner of the house. It's from, you know, many years ago. It's an old Indian treasure chest. So he said the halacha is that simply, like the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you find something in an old wall, you're allowed to keep it. No questions asked. And here, it certainly didn't belong to the owner, and his chaser wasn't koneh for him. So it should be a simple thing that the person that finds it is going to keep it. Or, like the case we said, if he's in the attic and he takes it out, so he's going to, that worker is going to own it. Something says from very long ago. But the Mishpatach Yaakov says, let's imagine the contractor is outside and he's digging around and all of a sudden he hits something hard and uncovers his treasure chest. So he says, at that moment, the moment it becomes uncovered, so then your chatzah should acquire it because it's not unknown anymore. The moment it becomes known, so at that point your chassid should acquire it. What is the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah is talking about cases where you found it in a wall and you stuck your hand in the wall and you pulled it out from the wall, and so it never was in that person's possession, especially if the wall is facing the street. It was never inside his possession. Or the gal, you just pull it out of the gal. And here also, if the contractor would like find a coin and just pull it out of the ground, so then he would own it. But if it's uncovered for a moment, so at that point the chatzer acquires it for the owner because it's not lost anymore, and he will get it. Yeah, so that's what I'm not sure about. I think it's the chiddush. No one else says this, but huh?
I say it's shalyam. It can be lost, but it doesn't matter if it. The sea comes and flings something into your backyard.
Right, so maybe you should get it. But see, one of the reasons, one of the svaras that they say, they bring from Rishonim, why is it that something that you can't, let's just use Tosis terminology, something that's ain't sofli musik, something that's not findable, why is it that you don't acquire with kinyan chatzir? That's because it's like enem mishtameris. It's almost like a chatzir she'enem mishtameris. My chatzir acts as my agent, as my hand. But that's only if it's something that I'm going to end up finding. Like, just like we said, by Enemish Tamaris, my chaser can't make a kinyan because I'm never going to get it because someone else is going to take it. So the same thing applies if it's something that no one's ever going to find. You can't say this chaser acted as my agent or it's an extension of my hand if it's something I'm never going to find. So if that's a svara, I could hear that, right, it's in my backyard. At that point, my chaser isn't acting for me because it's hidden from anyone and it can't acquire it. It's not my agent, it's not my hand. And the moment when he finds it, so at that point, my chaser is not so much damaris because all these people have the rishus to be in there and now working. So it could be that my chaser, there's never a moment in time when my chaser can acquire for me because before it's found, it's not an agent because it's impossible to find. The moment it's found, it's not mishtameris because everyone can go, all these workers are there now and they're going to go take it because they're allowed to take it. Chatzer mishtameris means that if I see you in there, I can say, what are you doing here? That's why we said the store is not Mishnah Meris, even though it's my store, I own it, but I can't say what you're doing here. I'm saying I'm buying something, so anyone's allowed to walk in. So if these contractors could go in the back, and they're allowed to work there, so it's not Mishnah Meris for the owners at that point. Anyway, that's a chiddush, he says. He brings the Devar Avram. The Devar Avram disagrees for another reason. He brings from some Mishonim that Kinyan Chatzar only works where you own the Chatzar first and something comes into the Chatzar, or you buy a Chatzar with some property. You get them both at the same time. But if the object is in the property first and then your Chatzar comes along, so then Kinyan Chatzar doesn't work like that. In other words, over here, the treasure chest was there. It wasn't your chatzir. Then it became your chatzir. So he says, Kinyan chatzir, Rav Avram says, Kinyan chatzir doesn't work like that. That's the chiddush he says. So, certainly in the case of the library, if you take the book out of the library and you find the $100 bill in it, there's no simon on it, or if it was a simon and it's very old, you can tell that people certainly gave up hope on it. So the library, so you can't return it to the owner, there's no one to return it to. And the library did not acquire it because it's a chatzir shein mishnah meris, so then you could keep it. The case of the gemach also is the same thing. Right? The gemach didn't acquire the, you know, there's something in the pocket there, but the gemach didn't own it because anyone's allowed to go in there and take things out and look in the pockets and take it home with them. So there also, when you take it home and there's no way of identifying the owner, so in that case, you also would be able to keep it. There's a shaila whether there's a din of lefnei mishur es hadin the melamed lo hoil. At the end of his tshuva brings a Yerushalmi, it's a medrash that says that the king of Alexandria was visiting one of the other kings and they had a dispute that came in front of them, that someone said, I bought this lot from a person, there was a garbage dump in there and I saw there was a treasure chest in the garbage dump, I want to give it back to him because I only bought the lot, I didn't buy the treasure chest. And the seller says, no, I sold you everything, I want you to keep it. And the wise king said, do you have a son? Yes. Do you have a daughter? Yes. Marry them and that way you'll split it. So someone to say, so there might be the Fnimish of Shadin to at least divide it in such a case. And Malam al-Hova says, no, that's different over there, because there we know that everyone knows that the seller used to own it. And the only question is, well, did he lose rights to it? So there we say, can you do a Pshara Yachloku? But if it's a case like we're talking about, where someone's digging and they find something that was never the property of this person, so then there wouldn't even be a Nimesh Uras Adin. That's the way the Malam al-Hova ends up. So to conclude, let's just talk about the case of finding something that's an ancient treasure. So if in the more common case of an old house, meaning a house that you bought that had a previous owner, so if you could tell that the Metziah had been there a long time, it's very rusty, it's old, hundreds of years old possibly, so then someone who finds that house, the contractor, the worker in the house who finds that hidden treasure, is allowed to keep it because we can assume it belonged to the Indian. It was from a long time ago. If it's a Messiah that you could say was recently put there, you could tell it was recently put there, then you're not allowed to keep it. If it's a case of the outside of the wall, you can't take it because there we can assume someone put it there. Now, we didn't mention that, but if most of the city is Akum, so then according to the Shach says you could keep it like any other Messiah that is found in a place where it's Rov Akum. The Nesivus disagrees because he says there's only a heter to keep an Aveda of an Akum, but here if Akum had put something in the wall, to take it out would be Geneva, so then you can't take it under any circumstances if it's a new Metziah. Now, if this is a house that you had purchased, so the same halacha will apply. You as the buyer can keep any Metziah that's obviously had been there a long time with the assumption that it had been there before the previous owner had bought it, and it's Hamotzim Yecheyeveir Olav Arayo. He has to bring a proof that it was his object, otherwise you can keep it. Now we spoke at this Machlokas that if he can prove that it had belonged to his ancestor from long ago and he was Yareshit, so according to the Malami Lahoil, he's allowed to get it back. The seller can retrieve it in that case, or in the case of someone, a contractor, finding it, he has to give it back to the owner of the house. And we saw that Chaim Cohen held that once it was lost for a long time and hidden for a long time by some ancient ancestor, so that's called Zuta Shal Yam, and the person even loses ownership over it. Now, in the less common case where the person built the house, where you built the house, and you've lived there the whole time, so then the halacha is, the assumption is that if something is found on the outside, the outer half of the wall, the Gemara says, the finder can keep it because they will assume that whoever had left it there was Meyayish on it, because it's assuming that it was there a long time. If it was found on the inner half, then the house owner keeps it, even though it's been there a long time, because the assumption is that he placed it there. It's his mitziyah, and he was not Meyayish. He can say that it's certainly his. Now, if he admits, the Shulchan Aruch said, if he admits that it's not his or his father's, he's honest, he knows it's not his, so then the finder could keep it, because in all of these cases, the owner of the house does not acquire a mitziyah that will not likely be found, because kinyan chaser does not work in such a case. The only time we're allowing the owner to keep the object is if he can prove that it's his, or it's his ancestors, his father's, that he inherited. But in none of these cases does his chatzer make a kinyan in one of these objects.